Pitch to Acuna, lifted deep left field. No doubt about this one. It is long gone. Another one into the Syracuse bullpen. Fourth home run today for Syracuse. It's Acuna's fourth of the season. And the Mets have doubled up the Iron Pigs. It's 6-3.
All right, we're back. Talking Mets podcast. So let's dare to dream a little bit. And, you know, the rules here are you really can't seriously talk postseason until the Mets get to 500. Yes, we all could look at the wild card standings. We see it on this Sunday evening on this Father's Day. And look, if the Mets were 37-33 and a game back in the loss column, you know, we're talking postseason because they're 33-37. We're not. And it just, it's so painful because I really believe when the season's all said and done, I kind of feel like this is going to happen. And what's going to happen is we're going to look up and we're going to see whatever blown saves the Diaz had in May. And I think that's what's going to be the difference in, you know, the Mets making the postseason or not. I really feel that. And I hope I'm wrong, you know, because I want to be wrong on that. But, you know, I really believe that that's, you know, kind of where this is going to go. But today's a day to dare to dream. Let's dare to dream. It's, you know, a couple of days after the big save against the Padres. The Mets sweep the Padres, who are in the third wild card spot. The Padres look disinterested. You know, one of their best players, Manny Machado, can't run out a ball. You know, he gets thrown out of a ball game. You know, they almost came back. You know, thankfully, Harrison Bader made a big play in the field. Big strikeout by Drew Smith of Tatis. But in any event, let's dare to dream about the postseason. So here's where I'm going to throw you a little, you know, wrench into this. I don't think the Mets should go out short of maybe an incremental move for a reliever or something along those lines. I don't think they need to go out and add to this team, even if they are in a wild card spot, even if they start to play at a rate where you feel they're going to win 87, 88 games, because I think you really are at a point with this season where you're learning about this organization and the prospects you have. And the last thing you want to do is trade a prospect for a component player. Because let's face it, with the whole damn league in the wild card race, what team is going to do a sell-off outside of Miami in Colorado, and is there a lot there that you want to overpay for in a pitching perspective? You know, maybe you kind of ravage or look at their bullpens. You know, Ryan McMahon, maybe that is a guy. You know, maybe there's a guy, you know, potentially if Vientos flops at third base. I mean, because if you look at the Mets roster right now, you know, the starting pitching is what it is. It's a rotation that is a, you know, number 3-4-5, littered with 3-4-5s. No ace, no top of the rotation anchor like a Wheeler or what Scherzer and DeGrom were. You're not going to go out, and those guys are not necessarily going to be available right now. That's an off-season thing. So you're going to, and you got depth. You got Christian Scott. You got Buto. You know, maybe, you know, Tidwell or Hamill or one of these kids could force their way in before the year is out. You saw what Nunez coming up. Danny Young on the 40-man has, you know, been a revelation and another scrap heap pickup by David Stearns. Buto is down there in the minor leagues. You still have, you know, some, you know, the Josh Walkers and the Cole Sulcers that could come in and shuttle up and down. Your set at catcher with Torrens, another great scrap heap pickup, and Alvarez back and healthy. You know, if you trade Pete Alonso, that's a bigger conversation. That's something we'll talk about as we get closer to the deadline, because that's a bigger conversation. You know, Iglesias is a great backup infielder, and he's pushing McNeil in the platoon. You know, you're not going to touch Bader in center. You know, he's too much on, with the way they've struggled defensively, he's too much of the fabric on the defensive side. You know, Nimmo is Nimmo. He's not going anywhere. Marte, unless you eat that money, he's not going anywhere. So, you know, when you start to look at this team, where are the improvements going to happen? And it's around the edges, it's the fringes. And I really think right now there's two players on the roster, and I'm going to assume everybody is going to stay healthy. You know, you got J.D. Martinez healthy the rest of the year. You know, there's no injuries to Pete Alonso or any of these guys. But there's two guys on the roster that I think generally need to be either demoted or upgraded. And one guy is going to be is staring down the barrel of becoming a bench player in this league, even though he makes a lot of money. And the other guy, I think, is showing that his foray. I know he was a big part of some of the early season wins. So the first one is DJ Stewart. I think the Mets right now, whether it be dipping down and bringing up a Luke Ritter and putting him on the 40-man roster, or you know what, and I think this ties into McNeil, and you heard the clip on the way in, bringing up Acuna at some point to add an element of speed and versatility to the offense, you know, to me, DJ Stewart would be the casualty there. And with Acuna potentially knocking on the door, that also brings up the question about McNeil. I mean, if you read the article in The Athletic, McNeil is all screwed up from a swing perspective. I mean, they talk about his elite contact skills, but they're trying to get him back to being a line drive hitter. Somewhere along the line, he's lost that. I don't know if it's the shift that's hurt him, if it's the fact that he got home run happy to justify his contract. He's had that before. If you remember the second half of 2019, he went from being Pete Rose to Daniel Murphy. You know, at that point, juiced ball that year, so he hit almost 20 home runs. And then, you know, it's kind of swung back with the bad 2021. Blamed a little bit on the over-analytical hitting coach and front office. Turns out, you know, maybe Jeff McNeil's a guy that, you know, ebbs and flows with his swing. Is because he's a big golfer, is that something that impacts him? We don't know. So, you know, when you look at that, you know, your real offensive upgrade, realistic offensive upgrade that won't require you shuffling the deck is, you know, Acuna. Now, Acuna's playing center. Acuna's playing short down in AAA. And, you know, he could come up here. He could spell Bader if you need it. He can certainly displace McNeil. I mean, Iglesias, you know, he's a nice story. He comes in and he kind of, you know, goes out there and he you know, he's got that energy and his enthusiasm for being back in the big leagues, and he plays great defense and he's a contact hitter. But there's a reason why he was on the scrap heap. He's not a guy that when he plays every day, that's, you know, going to make you get excited or anything like that. So, you know, that's something to certainly consider. And then the other thing is, you know, Vientos. I mean, right now you don't know. Vientos has cooled down a little bit. You know, are the Mets, if they start to get really serious and get in this thing, you know, Beatty is showing, you know, every time you send Beatty down to AAA, he's hitting the tar out of the ball. Is he 4A, you know, because he hasn't shown that he could do that here in the big leagues. You know, does Beatty get another shot and they platoon him over there at third? You know, do you go out and potentially, you know, trade for a Ryan McMahon from Colorado, a guy who, you know, is good defensively? You know, there's a guy that, you know, potentially lefty bat, you know, could play third base. Now, he had a really big April and a pretty good May. He's tailed off in June. I'm looking at his splits. He's actually better away than in Coors Field. You know, he's a guy that always had potential, hasn't always hit up to his expectations. You know, he's almost 30 years old, so he is what he is at this point. But, you know, there's a professional hitter, a guy who's played other positions, not this year. He's played second. You know, he's played first. You know, he's played around the diamond at some points, you know, even though he's not doing that this year. So he fits the versatility mode over there. And, you know, from what I understand, he's got a pretty good glove. I'd have to do more research on him, but I remember him having a pretty good glove and showing off his wares at Citi Field. Now, he's a guy that strikes out a ton, but, you know, that's the league there. And again, I'm not suggesting you go out and you give up on Vientos, but that's part of this process where, you know, now that you're back in it, you have to be very honest about, you know, who's going to be part of this and who's not. And you got to pull the plug if things go too far one way, because you're here to win ball games. It's not about just development. And that's going to be important at this point. So, you know, when you start to look at what the Mets need, here's what they really need. They need an ace, a top of the rotation guy, you know, and potentially you can look at them, you know, getting more of a certainty at the hot corner at third base, because I'm not sold on Beatty. I'm not yet sold on Vientos. And the only other position, you know, if you don't see an upgrade offensively, in center field to Bader, who's an elite defensively, is really the second base spot. And it's McNeil. And that's the thing. McNeil is so screwed up. McNeil is so off of who he is. And McNeil is playing like, you know, a versatile, he's playing like you would expect a Jose Iglesias to play. And at 220, no power McNeil hitting pop-ups to the outfield. I know he got a little double late. It's such a non-useful, I don't want to say worthless, non-useful piece to this roster. And this was a guy that was a batting champ that was a core player and signed to a pretty good deal after 2022 to be a core player, to be their, you know, contact guy, their average guy. Thunder and Lightning, he and Pete Alonso, Thunder and Lightning. It's so disappointing to see where he's at. I think Acuña is the most logical, unless they feel he's not ready, because he's starting to heat up after a slow start. He hit another home run. He doesn't have a ton of power. What you're bringing him on is to hit the ball, make contact, get on base, and then when he gets on base, he's going to steal. I mean, he's got 23 stolen bases coming into action today. That's a guy that's going to steal bases, a component that the Mets have sorely missed. I know they're adding a little bit of that. You know, Marte seems to be percolating back on that now that he's healthier. Lindor steals a base here and there. But really, by and large, the Mets, you know, Bader, but by and large, the Mets don't really put pressure on the pitchers. They don't. And I think Acuña coming in, even if he doesn't play every day, maybe he plays a few times a week. You could play him a little at second. He could spell Lindor if Lindor ever wants to take a blow in DH at shortstop, you know, if J.D. Martinez needs a day off. He could play center field and, you know, give Harrison Bader a blow. Or, you know, if, you know, Bader is much better against left-handed pitching than right-handed, you know, maybe platoon him a little bit if you want to see him do that. You know, in certain situations, you could always bring Bader back in for defense. So, you know, to me, the changes in what this team needs, it's imperative that they continue along the course of wait and see, watch, and allow the big league team to marinate and hit their watermark. If they believe this is an 85-win team, they will be an 85-win team, despite the fact that they were 11 games under, because baseball is, you know, a numbers game, and numbers have ebb and flows, and eventually, if you're meant to win 100 games, you will win 100, even if you play 500 through the first 50 or 60 games of the year. You've just got a lot of hits in those bats and a lot of outs in those arms, and they'll come in bunches at that point, which is what you're seeing a little bit with this team playing 730 baseball. But I don't see a team. I see it more likely that they would sell off and acquire something for the future more than they would sell a piece to add in a big way to this roster. I'm not saying they're going to go out and do another Daniel Vogelback, Darren Ruff deadline, but I don't see them going out and, you know, and the thing is, you know, all these teams in the race, so what would they do? It's not like they're going to go out and get, you know, this year's version of Randy Johnson or something like that. You know, they're not going to be like the Astros acquiring Randy Johnson. You know, they're not going to go out. I mean, are the Astros going to sell off at some point? Would they sell off Bregman, who's a free agent? You know, like when the Cubs sold off Chris Bryant, are they in that position where that happens? I don't think the Mets want to give up prospects right now because I think they need to see where they're at. You know, what do they have that's cost controllable, especially on the offensive side? And from a pitching perspective, with the way the pitching has gone, the injuries, how hard it is to develop, how hard it is to, you know, you have to have so many arms now to get through a season. You don't want to give away any of this minor league pitching depth. You don't. What, for a reliever? You know, like, for what? For a guy to come in? You know, like Michael Givens type? You know, you don't need that. So to me, right now, DJ Stewart and McNeil are guys that are on the clock. McNeil's not going anywhere. You're not going to release McNeil. You're not going to eat the money. You're stuck with him unless somebody wants to trade you their problem for him. And I'd be careful because you could go over there and start hitting the bananas out of the ball, and then you're like, maybe we should have been patient. But, you know, McNeil could be playing himself into a backup role. And DJ Stewart, I just don't see the value at this point. I just don't. I think he's a 4A player. He's not versatile. You know, to me, bringing up Acuña, and you don't have, and Acuña doesn't have to play every in every game. You know, it's okay for rookies to come up and get a little bench time. You know, Dave Magadan did it. I wrote about this on the newsletter. Dave Magadan sat the bench for years before he got a shot to play. And he was an effective backup. I'm not suggesting you bury him. I mean, this isn't like, you know, the NBA where you're going to be buried at the end of the bench. But, he, you know, you could call him up and still play McNeil a little bit, play him. you know, the good part about Acuña is he moves around the field. So it's not like he has to just be one place. DJ Stewart's a corner guy and a DH. So to me, that's kind of where I'd look at. You know, is third base stabilized with Vientos? And can you take the McNeil part of the lineup that's been so impotent, even though he's played well defensively and he saved, you know, as much as we want to talk about Diaz 100 miles an hour the other night, he saved the game with his big play at second base. You know, that part of the lineup has been soft and has been a problem. And his outs are not productive. A lot of balls in the air. It's frustrating to watch him. It's almost like Space Jam. They took his powers, right? Is that what happened? Did somebody Space Jam Jeff McNeil? I don't know. So anyway, that's where we're at. So interesting time to be a Mets fan. You thought, you know, like Michael Corleone, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. You're tepidly back in last week in London. Now you're probably a little bit more in. They go out to Dallas and Chicago and come back maybe 4-2. Or better, or look really good on the trip. All of a sudden, now you're fully blast back in, and I know what you're saying. They're going to break my heart. They're going to frustrate me. Maybe the yoke still exists, but I think we're going to have a really interesting June and July at the very least, leading up to the trade deadline. I was concerned that as they were playing poorly, that if they continue to go that route, they would fall into the Miami Colorado. Not because of talent, because they just didn't seem like they had anything going on, and Diaz was so bad. I thought they were going to fall down in that level and really give us nothing until the trade deadline. All we'd be doing is speculating about whether they should trade Pete Alonso or give him the contract he wants. I mean, who the hell wants to talk about that for 6 weeks? You know, maybe pop in on some of the minor league kids, which we will still do. We'll still do. But the Mets might be giving us a summer of some fun. The mediocrity card, I'll call it. You know, or the parody card, whatever you want to call it, some fun in the parody card, mediocrity card race. And you know what? Baseball, that means something, regardless of whether you're playing for, you know, the privilege of, you know, getting, you know, swept by somebody like Philadelphia or the Dodgers at some point. You know, baseball, though, is a tournament sport. And once you get in, a team like the Mets would, you know, assuming Diaz is back to being Diaz, and with a decent enough offense and pitching and a bullpen that could hold down and compete and they've played a lot of close games, which will come in handy come the postseason. That's a dangerous team. I wouldn't want to play the Mets with Diaz elite at the end of the game, you know, because those games get shortened, and especially if Nunez is who we think he is, those games get shortened to like 6-inning games. You know what? Guess what? You know, you could beat anybody. Dodgers, Philadelphia, Atlanta. You know, Atlanta's pretty vulnerable. It's going to be interesting. All I'm going to say is it's going to be interesting, and buckle up because we're going to have a ton of stuff to talk about. So next week, Mets are ESPN game. Ugh, Wrigley Field. So next Sunday, I think the show will be moved to Monday morning perhaps or Monday evening because then there's a day off and then there's the Subway Series. Keep checking out the newsletter, substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. Going to try to bring some interesting stuff to the newsletter for paid subscribers. Less than a cup of coffee a month. If you want to do the full year, of course, you always get the discount. Going to be running some sales for those that haven't jumped on yet. You know, give them an opportunity. Of course, if you're interested and you ever want to do a trial, there's plenty of trials. Just email me, MikeSilvat@TalkingMetsPodcast.com, no G. And I like to always give out trials to people and help them out and try to get them to appreciate it before they invest. I take the dollar that you guys invest in very seriously. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in on this Father's Day. I hope you had a great weekend with your family, a great weekend of baseball, of course. If you're a Mets fan, you could check me out all the time at the TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on X at TalkingMetsNoG and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, MikeSilva@TalkingMetsPodcast.com. No G, MikeSilva@TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, TalkingMetsNoG. And of course, like I said, don't forget the newsletter, Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And please support the good folks at the Fansided Podcasting Network. They do a great job of supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll be back with another Talking Mets podcast next week. Till then, take care, everybody.